This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
If we get really good at particular type of blocks, that's what we're going to feature. So we're not going to try to do something that doesn't make sense.
Awesome.
Reasonable sports thoughts.
Reasonable sports thoughts. From
narrowing the aperture.
Wait, wasn't that the open for our show?
I think so.
It was,
at
I
one
think.
Point.
Yeah.
I think at one point it was with the reasonable sports thoughts. But that's, yeah, it's coming from the coach of the Bears. And I think we're learning a little bit about what makes Ben Johnson tick, and I really suggest that you read the big biographical Brad Biggs piece, the one that has the Ben Johnson Cobra Kai
yearbook photo.
Yearbook photo, and apparently something that Ben Johnson would do just for I don't want to call it fun, but something he was compelled to do. He had a notebook. Just a regular spiral notebook.
Me too.
And a pencil. And he would just write numbers in sequence in columns.
That I do not do.
But that is in the mom, his mom brought it out and showed it to Biggs. They took a picture. But I think Brian Casella took the photos, so you know they're great. And he has these, it's a little weird that somebody would just want to write 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, what's the purpose of that?
Maybe to just calm his mind?
See, that sounds like an anxiety, anti-anxiety trick.
I don't know, man. Yeah, coming from a long line of engineers.
Is that like his version of doodling?
It sounds like somebody, yeah, either that or somebody who wants to write code, which he probably ended up doing having been a computer science major.
Or he's just a robot.
Computer science and math.
Yeah, the things in my family that I don't do that would probably make me a lot more money. So I admire it. I just also admire the well-roundedness of it all. You know, like to have a logical mind and thought process like that, and then to be able to apply it to football.
So
we started to see the change in baseball about 20 years ago. I hear it's going to catch on eventually.
Yeah, I heard people think it ruined the game. Let's hear.
No, that was your not posting videos of two teams with the biggest fan bases in Japan, MLB. The hell are you guys doing?
I want to see if you hear what I hear as Johnson talks about how the offensive line is going to come together.
It shouldn't be easy. This should be hard. You know, the spring should be hard. Training camp should be hard. Anything worth doing is hard. So it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of effort. In particular, year one, we should not be comfortable as we're coming into the springtime. We're going to load these guys up. We're going to see what they can handle. We're going to fail. And that's okay. That's part of how you learn and how you grow and you get better. And so we're going to encourage that as a coaching staff. So nothing about this is about making it easier. So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
So pair that with the quotes that we've seen, whether it's in appropriately our guest at noon, Kevin Fishbane, and Adam Johns's article talking about how people called Ben Johnson a red ass. Mm-hmm. I think we can say that on the air.
Yes.
And a stickler for detail and being competitive. And when you combine all of those things, did he just tell us his philosophy?
I think he's a solver. I think his nature is to solve. The computer stuff, the math stuff, the way he talks about how he goes about his business, I think, and I've always thought this a little bit about Tom Thibodeau, and it's a compliment, where Thibodeau has trouble sort of, where he's always had trouble kind of drawing the line where having a life and having basketball and but I always saw Thibodeau.
His life is ball.
And I always saw. If you watch him coach, the way his hand, the right hand, is always sort of moving as if he's got a joystick, like he's trying to move the pieces where they're supposed to be. His is not mathematical, his is geometric. He knows who's supposed to be where.
Yep.
That's why he's always bellowing, because he can't control them. But I think that he is a geometry solver, where this is more mathematical arithmetic, but you know, there's geometry in there too. But I just get this sense in Ben Johnson that he wants to get it right. That one of the reasons when he said, do we want the perfect play? Do we want to try to slow it down, get the perfect play? He knows what it is. Can he get it communicated? Have they practiced it? Can he get it right? Can he get it right? I think that, and I'd love to talk to him about it. But my belief is, just hearing the way he talks about football and what's important to him and how he describes other people, he's trying to finish the proof. He's trying to you know, QED. The problem is solved. What is it? Quad erat dictum. I've made my point. I've proven it, and then circle it.
That was a very Duke word you used.
Yeah, I mean, it's result and proof and show your work. That's always what I learned it to be. Poor Marshall, man. He's going to have to cool up this show again, because you and I are not going to have a pitch to Ben Johnson that's successful. Hello. We appreciate your center narrowing the aperture, and we really like your numbers book. I, too, have a notebook. Would you like to talk to us about problem solving?
Yes, quad erat demonstrandum. What was to be shown?
I was like, I'm not familiar with the terminology.
You never seen that in like a math, or you put that on there as like an FU, I solved it?
I mean, just the three dots, therefore. That's always been my trick.
Yeah, but QED. I showed you what was to be shown.
It's a lot of big words and a lot more small words, okay?
Well, it's three letters. It's QED.
I said show your work.
That I can understand that.
Yeah, same concept.
I always hated that when you had to show your work. It just sucked. Like, it's like I know how to solve this problem, and I don't need to write it all out. I know the steps. Why do I need to write every single step down?
They want to make sure you're not cutting corners. Because there's some ways.
But if I'm finding the way to get the right answer, then
yeah,
who cares?
That's because how I was with the Wonderlic. Like, I knew what I saw. I just didn't know how to say it.
But they're trying to exercise those muscles in your brain. I see it both. I know we've all been there. Where it's like, can't I just do it my way?
It's not even about doing it my way. It's, I know the steps you want me to take. Why do I need to write them all down if I can do it in my head?
It's definitely annoying when my friend stole the answer sheet, and then, you know, I had all the answers, and I had to show some work.
Oh, yeah, just get your renowned photographer friend to give you a $20,000 camera, too, and you're good to go.
Yeah, just call.
Old Two Furnace Dan over here, which was solving a problem. I'm just really excited to see how this is figured when it comes to hearing players talk about how they're viewing the offense, for example, or how they're viewing building plays on a season. You know, like your first four games are not going to be the same as your last four. So what did you do to add to your, not just the repertoire, but like add to your base plays? Like, how are you seeing this being put together in a way that makes sense? And frankly, just how are you utilizing all parts of the field? That didn't happen enough last season, as we know. And I feel like if you're viewing the game like this, and all of those things should be happening there. But additionally, how is this affecting how they're acquiring personnel? You know, we haven't heard a lot from these guys, whether it's Jonah Jackson, Joe Tooney, or Drew Dahlman. And I really liked what Dio Odengbo had to say yesterday as well. I think that might have gotten lost in all the offensive discussion. But what kind of player does he want? And you're starting to figure that out. So how does that affect everybody else who's already on the team?
I also noted, too, I mean, those we don't know. I wish I would answer those questions. But I do think that Ben Johnson, he did mention something about looking at players and do you have the prototype at every position? And it's one thing for him to say, hey, I'll just show me what I got and I'll coach him up and we'll go. But as we're talking about his influence on some of these acquisitions, it's clear he does know what he wants at every spot on the offense. I don't know that applies to the defense, but he certainly has in his mind an idea. And this is why it raises these other questions about, does Braxton Jones look enough like his vision of a left tackle?
I think it comes down to that.
Does Cole Kmet look like his vision of a tight end?
I do think with Braxton Jones, and the times that we've heard him speak, I like what he has to say. You know, you certainly see why he's gotten the opportunities he has. Unfortunately, on the field, things are what they have been, but I really have appreciated hearing him talk the last couple of years. You know, I think that that's great. But yeah, I do wonder about this. And also, again, it's just other things. Like, we're not talking about Drew Dahlman's relative athletic score because we've gotten to see it on the field. You know, arm length has been brought up so many times. Do you know who's in the upper percentile? Not to steal Jim Irsay's upper quartile, the upper quartile here. Mm-hmm. But you know who's in like an outlier percentage for arm length? Braxton Jones. So, okay, how do you measure that against a guy like Will Campbell, who everybody's worried about his arm size suddenly, when you hear all about the leverage with which he plays the base, him calling protections, that knowledge? Like, what is more valuable to you? And I think we're finding that out when we hear Ben Johnson talk. We know what was more valuable to Ryan Poles previously, and it was those physical traits, right? So how are you guys going to figure that out in a way that creates some progress here?
We're going to learn. We're going to find all that out. We're going to see it. They're going to talk about it. I'm also really encouraged because this group, and I think Johnson, in the same way we love listening to Billy Donovan talk, and we're going to hear from him later in the show, by the way, he had some really good stuff about player development, that this group of reporters, I'm excited to have the interplay between this particular group of reporters and Ben Johnson. Because I think they're going to do the Bears beat so good. You know, whether it's Grody and Emma and Wiederer and I can name Everleisure and Johns and Hogue and Courtney Cronin.
Don't forget Potsy.
And Potsy. I mean, everybody involved. Biggs.
Alex Shapiro had a good question about Michael Penix to Drew Dahlman yesterday.
Herb Howard is outstanding. And if I'm leaving anybody off, I really apologize. It's like an award speech. I'm sorry.
Caitlin Sharkey, Dion.
Thank you.
Cassie Carlson.
Thank you. That you have the good questions are going to get good answers.
Yeah.
Good follow-ups are going to get good answers. I don't think Ben Johnson's afraid of answering a question. And I just think there's so much going on in his head that some of it's bound to come out. I think we're going to get smarter about football this year.
I don't even question that part. I absolutely believe that. We're already seeing more of that rubbing off on Ryan Poles in his answers. Because he's more comfortable, I think, speaking right now as well. And I think he always has been, to an extent. There's no question about that. I've appreciated his transparency, too. It's not like we're insulting people as individuals here. You know, it's like, I just may not always agree with your thought process or your philosophy or the play you called. But it's all decisions. It's not necessarily
Eberflus was just the quality of the person. Dope.
The thing that frustrates me, though, is this. I joke that this isn't the National Talking League. You know, and it's okay if you're good at football, but you're not good with the media. What concerns you is when the media discussion might be reflective of how you communicate with your players. And when we've heard other people talk about the communication there, or former Colts, for example, who have podcasts like Zaire Franklin. If you haven't heard that, though, it's worth listening to when it comes to how coaches communicate with players.
It's a complicated game. I do think intellect matters, and to the extent that your ability to speak and describe what you're doing and why you're doing it, to the extent that that is a window into your ability to think it through, I think is really important. And that was always my worry with Eberflus. Like, was he some sort of idiot savant who couldn't really communicate anything to us and was convinced that his decisions that were clearly wrong were right? I mean, some of that stuff, when it really started, when he was wrong about stuff and spectacularly wrong about stuff and insisting he wasn't, that's when I knew things were, that he had absolutely, you got to get rid of this guy.
When you go back and you listen to all the times he blamed the players, it really started to add up. The quotes where this was supposed to be like this. Famously, the one that blew my brain was, we were supposed to have had a fourth interception on Joe Flacco and the Browns at the time. And I'm like, how realistic is that, my guy?
Right. We're like, supposed to.
You threw it up to Darnell Mooney for a Hail Mary and he kicked the ball out of his hands. Like, let's not. How realistic are you right here with saying you were supposed to have a fourth interception in that game?
He kicked the ball out of his own hand.
You know, until about a week ago, I had successfully forgotten about that.
I did too.
I'm here to remind you.
I did too.
It was sitting in his, like, on his stomach.
Yes.
Like, how do you not come down with that, dude?
And you know what? He didn't, to his credit, Darnell Mooney did not face most of the ire in that game. But the idea that even still that you're still saying, oh, well, that was supposed to be intercepted. Yeah, and I'm supposed to be 20 pounds lighter. I don't know what to tell you. Like, this isn't how it goes. You know, what about your decisions put your team in the position to where they had to force a fourth turnover to win this game?
I forgot that.
Like, what about that part?
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Didn't I tell you that was the Lawrence House of L podcast? We're at 4:30 in the morning here, but like 2:30 California time. I'm up like mad after Thanksgiving because I'm like, this guy, how many times were you going to say this? And then I just started doing one score games. I started looking up the post game quotes of one score games.
Go to sleep.
I'm here to tell you that if I don't go to sleep, there's hell to pay. And somebody's going to face it. That's exactly what happened.
We're going to send the wrong Sandman in. A couple things. One guy did say he's already named his fantasy baseball team Pastor of Muppets. So,
what a deep cut that is. Also, apparently we neglected Kevin Fishbane, our guest at noon in the...
Sorry, Fishy Business. That's my bad.
I did quote him earlier in this segment talking about the article with Adam Johns that I recommend you all read. It came out a few weeks ago.
Everybody's noting, whether we intended it or not, this whole 90 minutes of geekdom that we've done, in whether it's narrowing the aperture or quad erat demonstrandum.
Show your work.
It's Pi Day.
Ah, yes.
And saying whether
let's see how Earth responds to that.
Whether we intended it or not.
You're not having a good day either, buddy.
Maybe this is just like something in the air on Pi Day that causes us to be nerds.
No, I'm just like this.
I am too.
That's why we need Marshall.
I was trying to blame it on somebody.
How many
else.
Digits of pi can you do?
3.14159.
That's all I got.
26.
3.14159 is all I can do.
That's all you need.
Am I right? 3.14159 26.
You were correct.
Okay.
I only know 3.14.
Anyway,
8675309.
I'm really sorry for the last hour and a half.
I'm
of
not.
The show.
And Joe Ostrowski joins us next to set your wagertainment weekend on this.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs.
Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Joe Ostrowski, host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
That's a lot of value on a very talented team.
Getting you ready for your wagertainment weekend.
The public's been killing the books.
Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him.
With Bernstein and Harris.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
On the Score. Score. Score.
Let's get that money with Joe Ostrowski as he's going to set up some of your opportunities for this weekend. He's the host of Bet Sweats Monday through Friday, 8 to 11 on the BetMGM Network. And Joe Ostrowski is on Twitter at Joe Ostrowski, joining us on the Circa Sports Hotline. Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hi, Joe.
What's going on, Dan and Layla?
Well, you tell us.
We're talking about apertures, Joe. You have to save us with something. Something. Okay. Robbie asked just now, and I figured I'd float this to you. You got any Bulls playoff odds?
Oh, jeez.
It's okay. It's okay if you don't.
For Bears, for Cubs, for Sox, for players, for college hoops. And you guys are going Bulls at me?
It's okay.
No, I'll find them in a second.
He was just curious, so I figured I would just ask you. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, the Bulls are, oh, let's see.
They're, I was also curious.
More than 5-1 to make the playoffs. So obviously a heavy favorite to miss. And always you have to remember that that includes after the play-in. Does anybody think they have a chance? Does Robbie think they have a chance?
I do. And Robbie for sure does. He was throwing out 7-seed talk earlier in the week. I think Dan put a stop to it.
Yeah, I would. No way.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It's not
so
happening.
You're not even entertaining that possibility right now.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Okay. Shoot or shoot.
So now that we are this close to the start of the baseball season, are there any, and I don't know who jumps in now. I know a lot of the pros, a lot of the sharps get their stuff in as early as they possibly can. Is there other value to be found once some of the injuries have started and once we get an idea where some of the numbers might be off due to injuries?
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that some of those sharp bettors aren't going to come in and go on take the other side. Like if they have a potential middle there where they can hit both sides of a wager. The Yankees come to mind for sure, guys, with all of the injuries that have been piling up for them, and then Gerrit Cole, and you don't know about Stanton, and they've been a favorite, you know, to come out of that American League. The way that I look at it is the win total has dropped a bunch. I think there was immediately a five win move down. They're at 88.5 right now. And, you know, that entire division, that entire league, if it's not the Yankees, it's wide open. If you're not buying into the Yankees, and I'm not going to buy into that looking at all the injuries there, I think that division's wide open. We ended up talking about the Rays and the value there. We saw them at 28-1 to win the AL East. If they can ever get that rotation to stay healthy, it's as good, it's as deep as anybody's rotation. But yeah, you look around that American League and all the sell-off moves that the Astros have made. We know the teams in the Central, they're all pretty much the same outside of the White Sox. So I look at the American League with the Yankees injuries, and that league seems wide open, guys, for anything to happen.
I mean, that's very compelling. This would seem like a good time to make a bet that later you could even prop swap if you wanted or something along those lines. Like, this would be a good time to buy a future or two.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at the Rays, looking for just some value there. And I get the argument with the Red Sox that some people have made. I don't like the lack of depth in that rotation. But yeah, they were second highest in win total. And now I'm looking at the AL odds. Yeah, it's still the Yankees a favorite, a bit of a gap. You go to Baltimore, Houston, Boston. That's kind of the order. I was looking at Texas for some value there at 9-1, a bit of a bounce, possibility of a bounce back year for them. But yeah, I would look kind of around the middle for some value there because there's nobody that you're really all that scared of.
I also want to ask you, this is really real-time reaction here. We saw Cooper Flagg go down yesterday. We know that his chances of returning for the ACC tournament are very low, but how do you try to figure out the odds for anything affecting him and Duke moving forward?
Yeah, there was a lot of action once that news came out yesterday. And with the MRI, it comes back negative, so it was positive news for Duke. But based on what Shire was saying, it sounds like he's not playing in this ACC tournament, and that would be the right move. I don't know that he's going to play in the first round because they're likely to be a one seed, and then you're going to have a 16. It's going to be a massive point spread. I wouldn't risk that. The question, I think, is he going to play next weekend when you're trying to make it through there in that 8-9 game, the winner of that 8-9 game. So when the injury news first came out and you see him in a wheelchair as they're taking him back for the x-ray, there was massive movement in the market. People were betting all the teams around Duke in the national title odds. And I was told Florida was one of those very popular plays. And Florida is in line right now to get that last one seed. We'll see how they do this weekend in the SEC tournament. But once you got the results of that MRI and everything settled down, they were pushed back as a second favorite. It went from like plus 350 in that range to plus 700, and then that came back to plus 375. So based on that, the expectation is Cooper Flagg will be available. The question is, when is that going to happen? North Carolina today in the ACC tournament, that is one of the most popular plays, as you would imagine. I would look to the Duke side. That number's been coming down all day. I see it down to 6.5. Maybe people are forgetting about all the talent that they still have on that roster, aside from Cooper Flagg.
I'm normally not this guy, so I'm in a weird place where I think that my excitement level over the Bears' possibilities needs a reality check. And usually you provide it because we go through words and we hear all these words. And then we look at the numbers and the numbers don't always match up. Have any of these signings and any of the things that they're saying and any of this excitement translated to any movement in the win total?
Win totals are not out yet, so they're waiting for things to calm down post-free agency. I expect those to come out sometime soon. What we do have is Super Bowl, conference, division odds, and those tell a little bit of a story. So as far as the Super Bowl, the Bears are 40-1. And that's a good number, a pretty big number. But where does that line up in comparison with the rest of the league? That is 14th. So right now they're viewed as a team in the middle. And my expectation was, even with the moves that they've made over the last week or so, would be, okay, as far as the division goes, they're still going to be the fourth team, of course, because you have Detroit, Green Bay. Those are contenders. And then you look how Minnesota outperformed everybody. We know there's going to be a quarterback change with Darnold going to Seattle, but you know they had a ridiculous season. And you look at that defense, they've added to it this week. The Bears and Vikings have the same odds for the division. So the betting market is telling me, okay, you know, maybe the Bears aren't that last place team like they were viewed actually a year ago. That right now the market is saying they're neck and neck with Minnesota, little over 4-1 to win the division. So I'm very curious what that number ends up being. It was wild what happened in the NFC North last year with all the wins. Somebody's going to come back down to earth, one of those top three teams, and it's a matter of figuring out which one it's going to be. My guess is that the win total will be around 8.5. Wow. That's my guess. And Detroit will be much higher. Same with Green Bay.
So after all that, and all this, it's still, see, that's really says, I mean, that is it. That's the splash of cold water. Unless I'm just missing a great value and I'm right.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to put them ahead of Green Bay and Detroit? I don't think you can right now.
Oh, you can put them ahead of Green Bay. For sure. They almost beat Green Bay twice last season.
Yeah.
Yes, you could. I'm okay with doing that.
That road schedule,
Yeah, it's a bear. Yeah,
it's rough.
Pun intended.
It's rough. I'll say this, though, in the positive sense for the Bears, and obviously we all think that they're doing the right thing. When you look at that NFC, okay, you've got the Eagles, and then I have questions about everybody else at the top. Of course, the Eagles are the favorite in the conference, but let's go to second. Okay, the Lions. Yes, they've been awesome. Cool. How are you going to do replacing both coordinators? Like, the loss of Ben Johnson will be felt with that team. Niners, they're cutting people left and right. They're the third favorite. They're the favorite in their division. Okay, they're setting up to pay Purdy. Commanders, last year we saw, I know people love what Washington is doing right now, and they've made some big moves, but how about the regression we saw from the Texans last year after C.J. Stroud's rookie campaign? You can poke holes in all of these teams at the top in the NFC, and I think that's the biggest reason to be a little bit higher on the Bears than normal.
Another question where I'm putting you on the spot, but it's really just conversation. I'm curious to look up what the Vikings started at last season when it came to win total.
Oh, I remember because it was crazy. It's crazy. They were talked about as a team that was going to be in the tank mode. The win total was 6.5 last year.
Woof, what a deal.
Yes, 6.5. Mm. And look at what happened. And we don't know that their quarterback is going to be ready for the start of the season, McCarthy. And so it wouldn't surprise me once we get the win total or as the offseason continues, if they kind of swap spots and the Vikings are viewed as last in the division and the Bears have a higher win total. One other Bears thing that I do think is notable with all the moves that we've seen, at this point, there are only a couple of players in the draft that there are numbers on. And the market is which team will draft said player. It is on Hunter and Jeanty. And after the Bears made their first two moves on offensive linemen, there was an adjustment. Dallas was the favorite to draft Jeanty. Layla, probably no surprise to you.
Yep, I'd heard that, yeah.
And after the Bears made their moves, working on that offensive line, maybe people thinking about where Gibbs was drafted at 12 a couple of years ago when Ben Johnson was there, the Bears were moved to the favorite to draft Jeanty.
Oh,
what's the?
That's a big deal.
That favorite.
The favorite.
I would short that.
I don't want that. But that's the movement that happened.
I don't want it either. Yeah. It doesn't seem based on anything.
Well, I do think it might be based on how the Lions did draft Jahmyr Gibbs when everybody thought they had their running backs, and then. You know.
They got destroyed for it, and
look at them now.
I know, but that's sort of a facile way of looking at it, I guess. Real quick, is there a favorite for Aaron Rodgers' next team?
So that market is down right now because they're expecting it could happen any day. It was the Giants. The Giants were the favorite. It's got to be the Giants or Steelers, right? I mean, that seems like the only possibility. Otherwise,
Vikings.
I don't know that he's going to be guaranteed the starter. And do that. I'd love that. I think it'd be hilarious if he follows the Favre path all the way. Let's end with the Vikings, too. Possibly. But would he want to sign up for a situation where, yeah, after a month, you probably won't be the starter because our guy's going to be ready.
Those beach picks kind of looked interesting. The ones where he's got the cape on
like
the beach.
Kylo Ren? Yeah, that was strange. Now, hey, the Players' Championship is ongoing. Rory McIlroy is making a charge. He is -6 through 14 today. Minwoo Lee is the current leader at -7. Then it's Rory. J.J. Spawn and Akshay Bhatia are both -4 today. So McIlroy is 11 under, Lee 12 under, Spawn 10 under. And actually, Spawn just went to 11 under. So Morikawa is in the chase. Bhatia, look at Ricky Fowler at 7 under. What a story that would be. So this is sort of the non-major major. What are the numbers saying here?
Yeah, so Rory McIlroy before the tournament was 11-1. And now that he's been charging this morning, 5 under on the day, he is the favorite right now to win the tournament. So Rory's your favorite there. And I'm keeping my eye on Scotty. He's not making any putts. I know his second day is almost a wrap, but anytime you get a little bit of value on Scheffler, I'm going to take a look. He's 12-1 right now. He was about, I think, plus 350 before the tournament started, 12-1, not making any putts, and we know what he can do when he starts charging. I like Ludwig before the tournament. He has not started yet today, so we'll see if the conditions stay the same. I mean, there's a lot of scoring going on in the course right now, not much wind. But Ludwig is at 55-1 right now and has yet to tee off today. That might be a guy to pay attention to if you're hunting for value.
Good to know, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks for all the help as always, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
That is Joe Ostrowski. We have our final high noon of the week coming up next. What you got?
When two things that make people be crazy fanatical combine, more crazy things happen.
Now, it is Pi Day, and we just had our own internal competition of how many digits one can name, how many of the decimal places one can go. A boy from Britain put on a display that you are not going to believe.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Time for high noon. What have we discussed so far? Well, yet another day of exciting, interesting Bears press conferences. The gift that keeps giving. Ryan Poles talking about his pro personnel group picking out Drew Dahlman and knowing that that was the guy they were going to target. And then they go out and get him. Ben Johnson talking about the quarterback and center relationship and how they see the game and what kind of offense they want to run. We keep getting clues. He keeps dropping breadcrumbs for us. And then we heard from Drew Dahlman himself, and he gave us the watchword of the 2025 Bears season.
Narrow the aperture.
Narrowing the aperture. Ben Johnson also gave us a bit of a thematic statement talking about the difficulty in doing some of what they want to do. And I'm starting to get the feeling that he is a, by nature, he is a problem solver. That is what he does. That is sort of who he is. As a math guy, as a computer guy here on Pi Day, he looks at all these situations as opportunities to solve problems. And then Joe Ostrowski talked about the Bears being the favorite for Ashton Jeanty.
Take
him at 10?
Man, Bears fans move markets. They do. Do you remember Dave Gettleman when he talked about all the computer guys he was bringing into the front office of the Giants?
Yes.
Silence. Yeah, that deserves a thought. It's this is another clickbaity headline for me that got my attention, but that's because it's amazing. Michael Jordan-shaped Flamin' Hot Cheeto going for hundreds of dollars at auction.
Wait, did we?
We have reached peak fandom.
We just did this with the Pokemon Charizard.
But this is two things that people love. Michael Jordan and Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I have no idea how this happened, but it does indeed look like the Jumpman logo.
It's the Jump. I thought it just looked like him.
No, it really does look like the Jumpman logo. You can look it up. It's on CBS Sports. So a Charizard-shaped Cheeto, as you know, sold for $87,840. So apparently, this auction house decided to find the Jumpman Cheeto, and it's not going for those prices, which is kind of ridiculous. Who's more important, everybody? Michael Jordan. Get that price of the Flamin' Hot Cheeto up, because right now it's only $275. I think it should be higher.
You know, I think Charizard's pretty important.
Michael Jordan is more important.
No.
Internationally? I don't think you're right.
Yes. Internationally.
No, I'm joking.
I see your point. Studs.
I don't know.
I continue this nerd talk that we started at 10 a.m.
If this was a holographic Charizard card, then I could see it, but this isn't a holographic Charizard card.
No.
Holographic Charizard is the most sought after Pokemon card.
That's
of all
more
time.
Important than Michael Jordan?
I would say so, yes.
I mean, the Cheeto that was shaped like Charizard sold for a lot of money, but this is only $275. This is a Flamin' Hot Cheeto shaped like Michael Jordan. These are two very important things.
The question is, would you eat it?
No, of course not. You frame it. You put it in one of those display 3D boxes, you know, the ones I'm talking about. I also thought of a Diorama-Rama by The Simpsons yesterday.
Diorama-Rama.
Because I have time for
I don't know that
thoughts.
I know that reference.
Diorama-Rama, the Telltale Heart. Remember Milton with the grapes and the wrath? He's like, here's the grapes, here's the wrath, and he hits him with a hammer.
They're having a diorama competition at school, and Lisa is... It's the episode where Lisa is in a rivalry with the other really smart girl.
Oh, okay, yes, and yes,
she decides to sabotage her project.
So I would just like to remind everybody that last year, an autographed 2003-2004 Logo Man card sold for a record $2.928 million. These are two great things in our society. Michael Jordan and Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Let's make it happen.
I don't think it looks that much like Michael Jordan.
It looks like the Jumpman logo.
I would say the other Cheeto looked more like Charizard than this looks like Jordan. I can't believe that sentence just came out of my mouth.
Oh yeah, well my last Google search was Giants GM computer guys.
It's Happy Pi Day. It is 314. Tomorrow is the Ides of March. And as I always say when I make that reference, members of the Ides of March.
I truly beware it, mostly because it comes on a day where a lot of people drink a lot.
Well, I also saw the point made that the reason why Caesar was murdered is because he was drunk with power and believed that he could ignore the Senate and wasn't playing nice with other branches of government, and started throwing around things like being a king.
It does look like Charizard. I'll give you that.
The assassins believed they were doing the right thing for the long-term
of the Republic.
Health of the Republic of Rome.
Correct. They did. Just saying. I want you to meet a young man.
A2 studs.
A young man in England.
A2 Brute.
A 10-year-old British boy named Alberto Davila Aragon. What a beautiful name. Alberto Davila Aragon in Bristol has set the world record for the most decimal places of pi recalled in 1 minute. So he said that in last March, his school had a pi digits competition. And the winner, the person who could memorize the most digits, got to pie their headmaster in the face.
In the face.
And he won because he memorized 150 digits. But he kept working on it even after smashing the pie into his headmaster's face.
Well, what's the next prize?
The prize is Guinness Book of World Records.
Whoa.
So he has rattled off 280 digits of pie in 1 minute. You want proof? Here's proof.
10-year-old Alberto is about to name as many digits of pi as possible in 1 minute.
3, 2, 1.
He's done it. He broke this record with 280 digits recalled in 60 seconds.
I thought I heard a bear's in there.
I love the whistle. I love that. Somebody blew a whistle.
That is some excellent work. That is incredible.
I think he messed up one of the ones, though.
Oh, you got one?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you're checking his work. Show your work.
Unbelievable, Robbie.
Bears.
They can't. A new child prodigy has now taken the place on our airwaves.
Hi.
How many can you memorize, Dan?
I did it. 3.1415926 is as far as I got.
Seriously? You don't think you can memorize more?
I could try. I don't want to. Kevin Fishbane will talk Bears with us next on The Score.